So for today, I'm being joined by our usual podcast host, Ali.
Hi guys, I hope you had a nice weekend. Excited for today's Markets Monday.
Ali, how is it joining Markets Monday podcast? Something that you never used to, you know?
I feel like a water out of the fish. But then it's a really nice learning opportunity, and I get to interact with some of our live listeners who are interested in markets.
Very interesting, Ali. So maybe we just kick through for guys. We'll be looking on to what happened last week. A few things that moved various markets, both probably on the local aspect, and then also just have a little bit of an overview of a few business news that is coming in left, right, and center, and is probably to shake markets this week. The first thing that's really coming in is a lot of investors bringing in a lot of concerns regarding the asset quality in East Africa. And then definitely we're seeing there's a lot of things as well that's coming in from last week's activity, where Safaricom touched an all-time high after Ethiopia allowed, say that the company would be allowed to access mobile money services, to operate mobile money services in Ethiopia after the second bidding, after the bidding of the second license is complete. So we hopefully that should be mid next year, you know, looking at it from when the previous one, the previous license was issued. Yeah, so Ali, back to you.
Well, what happens now?
All right, okay, guys, let me just take you through this. All right, so Ali, starting off with the local markets, what happened? And to guys who are listening, thanks a lot for joining in. For what happened in the local markets last week is the all-share index of the Nairobi Securities Exchange. Looks like the NSE really had a good week last week, because we're seeing the all-share index, the NSE 25 and the NSE 20 share indices all probably adding some gain, which really is good for the investor, you know. The all-share index was up about 0.98 points to close the week at 178.50. Something generally good for the exchange. And then also at the same time, we are seeing that the NSE 25 share index also added 27.08 points. So really something that's good as well for you as an investor. That means that overall, so for guys who are joining in for the first time, this is what happens in indices. You know, if you're trading an index or if you're investing on an index, then one of the things that comes through for you is that it generally gives, so an index is more like a collection of, a general performance of a collection of companies. So at times it can be, this should be around 10 companies, 20 companies, 25 companies, or the all share index for, every market has an all share index one way or another, because we have to know the overall performance of the entire market. So the NSE's all share index was up. That means the general mood for the market was on a positive edge as compared to the previous week. The NSE 25 share index was also up as well. Then the NSE all share was up. Oh my God, this is crazy. Okay, the NSE 20, the NSE 25 and the NSE all share index were all on the positive edge. Now, weirdly enough, and for you as an investor, a lot of things really happened in terms of the movers and the gainers. The movers, the gainers and the losers for the exchange. The first thing that I think we really have to look at and was pretty much interesting was that Uchumi supermarkets. I don't know what's up with some of these counters, you know, those companies that would always be gaining even when you should expect. Okay, I'm not expecting Uchumi to lose. I don't want to be the prophet of doom here, but you know, Ali, we're looking at this and Uchumi has had a lot of bad news. The company was actually suspended from trading on the Ugandan Securities Exchange about 2 weeks back, and we're seeing Uchumi still on the positive edge. So pretty much of a challenge. The Bank of Kigali came in second on the gainers list. So Uchumi was up 17%. Can you imagine? So if you bought Uchumi on Monday and you sold it on Friday, you should have made 17%. Doesn't make sense for me. But also looking at it from another angle, Bank of Kigali came in second and probably and gained 11% on the week. So Bank of Kigali has come back to a price of about 32 shillings and 40 cents. I think BK Group is really one of those companies that you really just want to, you know, probably hold. The main challenge again is if you're investing in East Africa, there are those challenges that come in. Mostly if you're investing within, if you're investing in Dar, if you're investing in Uganda, if you're investing in Rwanda, the challenge would really get into repatriation of dividends. So you really have to consider that as well. But the capital gain and the possibility that you can be able to buy Bank of Kigali and then just sell it to some other random shareholder, you know, would be good for you. Yeah, you know, you bought Bank of Kigali at 25, it's now 32. Sell, man. You don't have to wait on anything. On the loser side, oh my God, the loser side is huge. I know, Ali, you want to guess which company was on the loser side.
No, before I even bother on guessing which company is on the loser side, I was interested in the Uchumi story still. Felix, what do you think is driving the Uchumi rally, given that there isn't much activity on the ground in the stores?
Come on, Ali, let's be honest. When was the last time you visited an Uchumi supermarket?
No, why would I visit an Uchumi supermarket?
Exactly. Maybe, I don't know, but if there's somebody who's listening, why would you want to visit Uchumi supermarket, you know? So there's still a lot more that we're seeing here, and there's a lot more that we really have to just consider and, you know, look onto it. I think it's not just about Uchumi one way or another, but still really much of a challenge for those of you who are probably investing in Uchumi. I think it's a challenge for me. I'm seeing Davis is in. Davis, do you want to say something on Uchumi? Because I know, I don't know if that's something you'd want to really talk about.
I'm surprised it's still listed. Hey, even just like one branch, hey, you know, it's bankrupt. Hey. Anyway, I haven't looked, so I don't rely on looking at such a company.
Okay. Interesting. So in case you're hoping for Uchumi to really come back up, that would be quite a huge challenge for you as an investor. But then, looks like guys are really enjoying that space. You know, we're looking at, I don't know if these are technical analysts or how can we be able to put them, but guys are really enjoying trading on volatility. One of the things that I know a lot of people really do is if you have some money that's left in your CBSE account, that people would always buy these companies that are seen as less valued in terms of price activity. You know, a lot of times you find people would be more open to spending that extra, you know, 2 or 3 shillings to just buy the Uchumi shares rather than them. If you have like 20 shillings in your account and you want to have 1,000 or 100 shares, those are ways that people look at it from. So that's one challenge. But then on the loser side now, guys, that's where it hurts most for you as an investor. And you do not want to guess. Nairobi Business Ventures, NBV, which has really been like, you know, that company that guys have been seeing, we are at the top of the table. And NBV seems not to really edge out so well in terms of activity on the market over the past few weeks. For the second week running, NBV has emerged as the top loser on the market. Last week, NBV was down 15.9% on the market to close the week at 6 shillings and 96 cents, up down from 8 shillings and 28 cents where it was at the beginning of the week. Now, guys, if you bought NBV 4 weeks ago, that's a month ago, your portfolio would be down 43%. If you bought NBV 1 week ago, even right now on market, right now, just as we're speaking, you'd be down already 15.9%. Though, however, if you go to NBV, and just like I told you guys last week, at times, you know, one of the things that happens on the market is something known as profit taking. By profit taking doesn't mean that you exit the market. By profit taking, basically what it means is you stop being so greedy, you know. NBV was up as high as close to about 90% month on month. That was as at last month, where NBV came from prices of about 5 shillings and 20 cents and rallied all the way up to 12. Actually, that is way past 100%. So if you're an investor and you're looking onto it, even right now on the market, if you bought NBV at the beginning of the year, you know, you can still be able to make that money, because at the beginning of the year, NBV was at around 4 shillings and 65 cents. It's the year-to-date performance still at 62%. You can still be able to probably salvage your portfolio. The only challenge, which I think could be a major concern to you, would be the exit strategy that you're going to make, because there are not so many people who are looking to buy NBV was the case probably like 3 weeks ago, you know. Because in today's session alone, we're seeing there's only one guy on the market who's looking to buy 500 shares, and he's looking at 6 shillings and 80 cents. And this is as compared to about 77,300 shares on offer. Who's going to buy 77,300 shares on NBV? However, on the good side, NBV has traded 10,000 shares. Somebody seems like has a little bit of confidence in their 70,000 Kenya shillings, which is very good for investors on the market. On the other edge, NMG, which is the second ranking in terms of year-to-date performance on the NSE, that's National Media Group, is also up back to 25 shillings. Last week, NMG slipped a bit and traded at prices of about 24 shillings and 75 and even 24 shillings and 50 cents. So looks like guys were not willing to hold the fort. I don't know about you guys, but you know, some of these companies like NBV, if you'd imagine, I don't know if it was some Wall Street bets or something that was happening here in Kenya, you know, like NSE bets and guys are pushing it. Maybe if KQ would come back on board, then we can probably pull a rally with KQ, but that's not an investment advice, guys. So really you have to think about that before you can be able to just make that informed decision out of it. Second to that, to NBV, was Samia Africa, which was down 9.7%. I really don't know what's happening with Samia. Anytime the company hits anything above 3 shillings and 50 cents, it would always come down to about 2 shillings and 80 cents. So if you're an investor, that is a company you might want to really look at. But you really need to understand the RSI so that you don't get into the company when it's at... You probably need to get it when it's an oversold position, then you can be able to pick up, and then before it gets to overbought, you know, you can be able to exit that position. Even if it's some, you know, 10-20% every month, you can be able to get into that bit. On the loser side, the company that really stood out for me was Kenjan. Looks like Big Brother is not really letting Kenjan out of the blues, because we're seeing anytime Kenya Power, that's KPLC, takes a certain hit or material announcement, then one way or another it must have that effect on Kenjan. And in case you're wondering what happened to Big Brother last week, KPLC is Big Brother in this case. Kenjan has always been the Big Brother, but you know, it looks like Kenjan is no longer the Big Brother, because KPLC is sort of like handling all the finances. So we really have to we had to swap those birthrights one way or another. So maybe to you, what comes first? Is it electricity or the supplier? Definitely the generator. But in this case, looks like funds. Kenjan's fundamental is still, and I know Davis has really done a lot of analysis on the two companies, you know. So it would be for you to really figure out what levels you want to probably engage in for Kenjan and KPLC. Kenjan still looks slightly a company that you might want to pull into, but always remember that a shop is just as good as the customer. Once the customers are out of business and the customers are no longer able to purchase, then the shop is likely to probably close down. But we're really not hoping that is what happens into this case. Also, there's material information, not really material information, but something that was really exciting on the market, where a US company is saying that they can be able to come in and help Kenya Power handle, you know, the operating margins and also just reduce the costs, that the electricity costs and that was from a company that I'll get the name of the company and I'll be able to share that with you guys. Yeah, it's OrMat. The company is called OrMat. That is ORMAT. And they're looking to probably help Kenya Power reduce the electricity cost. Would be very interesting, you know, for companies one way or another. It's something that's very much interesting for you guys on the market. And speaking of that, the market today, KPLC, I'm checking this through the HISA app, is Kenya Power is still having a little bit of an oversupply, so it looks like a lot of guys are looking on to exiting, you know. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys probably early want to still exit because we're seeing at 141, that's 1.41 shillings. We are still seeing somebody has 375,600 shares of Kenya Power and they're willing to sell it in one go. Though this might look like a fund manager, because we're also seeing below there's another 317,700 shares that are on offer still, a single individual. One of the things that really amazes me, and one of the things that you as an investor should be concerning, is can you imagine somebody might have bought this number of shares when Kenya Power was trading at prices of say 10 shillings, you know? Ali, could you imagine just what level of impact that is? If somebody bought Kenya Power at prices of about 10 shillings and right now they're trading at 1 shilling.
I feel like, I mean, I would understand that given that, you know, it's Kenya Power is a sole power distributor in Kenya. So if someone did that a few years ago and expected like high returns, that would be understandable. And I feel like who knows what the future holds. There might be changes in the next 10, 20 years that would see Kenya Power rally above 10, 15
shares. I think we're tired of hope, Ali. Okay, let's be honest. When Jared Otieno took up, his name was Jared Otieno, right? Former guy for Kenya Power before Bennett Ngugi came in, and we had a lot of hopes in him, and then Bennett came in, and then we had higher hopes in him, and then now they've brought in Rosemary, and we don't know what level this is going to be. So I think for hopes for Kenya Power, it might be long, considering that the company is even looking on to getting some level of financing just so that they can be able to pay salaries. I think the concern that we really have for Kenya Power, and this should be for every single investor out there, is can you imagine to the level of, you know, power is a utility, and the level of income that this company gets. And just even look at around where you stay, how many people technically use electricity, how many people, because the transfer to solar is still very low. We can see that we have a high level solar penetration, solar power, because Kenya Power has actually even claimed on that space, and we're seeing levels where we're probably looking at legislation where Kenya Power will be the sole company that will be let to install electricity, solar panels, Ali, you know, you read that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we're still looking at this company really trying to cover this space, but still, it's still a long shot for them. They need to do a lot more than just that before they can be able to, you know, probably make a few trends here and there for the company. For Kenya Power, if you're buying KPLC today, it's definitely going to be a long term for you.
Probably for your children.
Oh yeah, exactly. These are those companies where you buy them and then you hold them for a very long time, you know, to let them out for guys. So, and also just to give you guys a little bit of the movers on today's market. What's really moving, guys, on the market is Safaricom, as usual, has moved about 321,300 shares of the market. And then Absa is also moving 79,000 shares on the market. So 1 hour into trading, still very little on the market as well. And that would be something as well that we'd really be looking into. On the bright side, if you bought Scan Group last week, your portfolio is supposed to be up about 4%. Scan Group is up 4.65 shillings. That's about 4.26% on the market. Yeah, so pretty much interesting. Looks like the news about Munga and Britam didn't really affect the share price. You know, Ali, I don't know if you've read the story about
Munga, Britam, and Mauritius.
Yeah. Wait.
I think
Munga, Britam, and Mauritius. Can we figure out how we can, you know, Munga, MB, M?
I think we shouldn't, BMM.
Oh yeah, BMM.
Sounds like a weird acronym. I think, Felix, one thing that I'd be interested in is something that was touched on earlier on the HISA newsletter, which is, what should we look into this week? Specifically, the daily bread, yeah, Unga Group.
Oh yeah, guys, so there's a lot of news that's really touching on Unga Group. And I know that we'll definitely, we're literally hoping that a lot comes in from the company, and we've seen that price rally hitting to Unga. A week ago, Unga Group had announced a purchase agreement with Cold Storage and Logistics. I don't know if you've seen, if you know about Cold Storage and Logistics, it's more of a, it's sort of global but also local. They really have a very big warehouse somewhere. Anyway, assets don't really imply valuations, so just in case you're wondering, Nakumatt had a lot of stores and the valuation was something as well that was different. So in this case, we see Unga Group, a week earlier they announced that agreement, and that would be through the subsidiary, that's Ants Valley Bakery Limited. And then also on Tuesday last week, on Wednesday actually, in the morning before market opened, Unga Group said that they were entering a conditional investment agreement, and in it's on more of like a 50-50 basis on the data that they had mentioned, and they're looking at investing in East Africa, you know. So they're looking on to investing this with Nujeko International, and then putting this on a 50-50 basis. Their first market is definitely going to be Uganda. So we're hoping that this would really be a challenging bit. Not a challenging, but an important aspect for Unga. Remember, we've come a long way with Unga. For those of you who've been following on the market, I haven't really been a shareholder for Unga, but it's been a long way for the market from the acquisition, the proposed acquisition by Seaboard, the flopped proposed acquisition by Seaboard. And there's been a lot of challenges, you know, but we're still seeing the company still really facing a lot in terms of opportunities ahead. And the good thing is, this is a company that is onto food, which is a basic commodity. And so really it would still be very interesting. The expansion of Ants Valley, I think, would be something that we are all probably looking into, and we're hoping that it would end out to be a good aspect as well for the company in terms of long-term activity for the market. Yeah, so that's it for me, Ali. And then also one thing, I think, yeah, definitely, guys, Coinbase is set to release their financial results, the Q2 performance this week. This would be on Tuesday. That's tomorrow, actually. We definitely want to see what if the decline in crypto really had any large influence on Coinbase. You can, we if you're on the HISA app, we can start up a discussion and just follow up on Coinbase performance probably tomorrow. It will be interesting just to see if the company really maintained, because remember, early in the year, the company announced before listing, the company had actually said that they made more returns than they had actually made throughout its lifetime in just Q1. You remember, Ali, before the company listed?
Yeah.
And everybody's just trying to see if this is going to be the case. Are they going to be sustaining that? And remember, we're not really expecting that. A lot of analysts are not expecting that level of engagement, considering that the previous quarter, we had a lot of companies really moving to the Bitcoin space. We saw Square get into Bitcoin. We saw Tesla get into Bitcoin. And we also saw MicroStrategy. Those were some of the largest Bitcoin activity that really happened in terms of corporate level last week. Also, considering that there's a lot of news that is really affecting that market and also the price fall, I think that is one thing that's likely to be of a concern. And I'm hoping that that is something that Armstrong will be able to talk about tomorrow during the release of the financials. Yeah, so I guess that would be it for me on what I'm likely to be expecting. Always, I think one of the things that as an investor you need to pick up, if you broaden your network, that's well and good. If you want to grasp on every single news that's happening on the market, that's well and good. But if you can be able to set certain stocks and certain goals to be able to watch over on your portfolio, and that's why for us as the HISA team, we're always trying to give you guys, you know, when we're looking at our power, and we only select a few stocks. There's a lot of things that really happen in the markets. Even this week, even looking at it in forms of data that's coming in from various markets, there are a lot of stuff that we're supposed to expect. An example of things that we hardly look at and come out every week is the normal T-bill results that come out every Thursday evening. That is one thing as well, that if you're always into T-bills, that's one thing you can always add on to your calories watch for the week. So that's it for me, and I believe that's it for us, Ali, on today's discussion.
Yeah, I'm still underwhelmed that you didn't touch on Kenya in as much as we're selecting calories here, Phoenix.
Okay, sorry guys, I think that totally slipped my mind. Ali, I think Kenya is, I think, an important company.
Mm-hmm.
Kenya definitely is an important company, guys. And really, really, really sorry. I was about to leave that off market. Last week, we saw Kenya release the half-year results. Oh, and guys, one thing that was important is Kenya did not delay in the performance of the financial reports, the financial results, which I think is pretty much interesting, you know. Kenya however, posted a 66% decline in the half-year performance. So, really, we're seeing, and just in case you want to understand how this happens, is Kenya, you know, we're comparing, when you're comparing a 66% decline, it's not just that we are picking up, say, like, the performance of one, let's say from January to December, we're comparing this from the previous year as well. So just in case you thought last year was a bad year for companies, looks like this year could probably be worse for Kenya. But then the good thing is the gross written premiums for the company was up 6% to 9.5 billion, and also the net earned premiums also was up 0.3% to 8.68 billion. So we're still seeing that the company is still really, apart from the decline on the net profits, which my concern would really be the final impact on the full year results, we could be headed to a profit warning by Kenya at the end of the year if things don't turn around, because, you know, 6% is very huge. Comparing this to the performance of the company last year, this is already about 13%. Of the company's performance. That was at the full performance of last year. So if it gets a level of over 25%, definitely we should be hoping for, we should be looking at a profit warning, but that's not the case. Things can turn out, you know. We, matatus are now carrying full capacity, so you never know. The insurance premiums might be able to go up, but also considering that Kenya is, the Kenya Re's main business is actually reinsurance, and so that's really where the challenge really pulls into. But also the good thing is we're seeing Kenya is putting up a lot of investment as well on the government securities, property and cash. So we definitely hope that the valuation, and that's where earlier today there was news about investors in East Africa really being concerned about the asset quality in for various companies in East Africa. So we really hope that the asset quality would probably increase for some of these companies, and that we're definitely going to have a good level of returns for companies. The worst thing in the insurance company that's happening today is that Britam Tower has actually been devalued, and bringing the company to about Britam Tower, yeah, so not Britam, guys, so please chill. There's been a lot of news on Britam, so definitely you might just want to, you know, at least say one way or another, we've seen our own Charlie Munga. Okay, yeah, Peter Munga and the news that's really coming in. But early in the week, Britam Group, you know, they personally cut the valuation of the 32-story Upper Hill Tower by a cool 1.13 billion. The occupancy level for Britam Tower has really gone down, and it's currently only 47% occupied. So really much of a challenge. Looks like guys are trying to see on cheaper office spaces and cheaper places where they can be able to rent. Remember that when Britam Group was during the construction of the Britam Tower and the launch, the company actually said that they were mainly focusing, they were looking at this from a level of high-end occupancy. And looks like that generally just tells you that the level of probably, I don't know how to put this, but looks like the level of business activity in the country has also been down. The good thing, however, is if you've invested in UAP or mutual, for those of you who have the contracts, who traded on the OTC market for UAP or mutual shares, then UAP is 98% occupied at the moment. So really, something as well that's interesting as well. So really, Two Towers, almost about a stone's throw away. If you have a catapult, yeah, you can actually be able to break the windows if you're on the top of one. Not giving you guys ideas though, so you don't want to do that. Yeah, but look at it from another angle. We're seeing that the valuation of that has gone down. Let's really hope it doesn't get to affect the final outcome or the final performance of Britam at the end of the year. So really, that's one thing for me. Anything else I'm leaving, Ali? I've touched on Kenya, you have touched on Britam. Yeah.
No, thank you. I think this is all the things that I was sort of looking at in terms of local markets. Maybe globally, something that I was really, really following closely would be the different results that came out last week.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to touch on that?
I think last week, most of the things that a lot of guys were really looking at was the main thing that guys were looking at was maybe the jobs data.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really pushed guys on market. But then, you know, the jobs data, the unemployment data was really just telling guys that the claims that were made, that were lodged on the previous week were pretty much low.
Mm-hmm.
So that came in on Thursday. And I think after that, we saw S&P 500 really. We saw the S&P move up to close to all highs. And at the same time, we saw the Dow Jones as well. Gain is about 0.6%. S&P was up 0.7%. Nasdaq was up 1.2%. And so, looking at it, looks like global markets are on the positive edge, because if you're looking from all the way from China, looking at Japan, if you're looking on the Nikkei, the Shanghai Composite Index, the FTSE 100, the Eurostoxx 600 index, all of them were actually on the positive edge. None of them really was on the loose. The only concern I think for guys who've invested in commodities is that oil was down last week 6.2% and gold was down as well 3.2%. So it's really much of a challenge, and that's one thing that I know most investors are probably concerned about, mostly for those who are investing in commodities. But hey, if you're investing here in Kenya, if you're here in Kenya and you're probably getting access to the physical commodity and not the contract, you might really want to hope that the prices continue to probably come down. And I think that's one thing. Maybe one thing, Ali, that might have really picked up for us was Uber in the earnings bit, where Uber said that the revenue for the company doubled to about $3.93 billion.
Right.
These companies are making money that's almost equal to the budget that we want as a country. That's stressful, guys. Very, very, very stressful. So, the gross bookings for the company was up 114% year on year to $21 billion, and the mobility gross booking was also up 184% to $8.6 billion,
which is quite impressive given, you know, COVID-19 and guys working from home.
Exactly. You'd really expect some of these things to probably hit a decline and a nostalgia, but then we're still seeing this, a lot of things that are really happening one way or another. And also we're seeing Virgin Galactic. I know we wrote something about Virgin Galactic. I know you know something about Virgin Galactic. If you don't know Virgin Galactic, I don't even know why we're friends. But yeah, we're friends. And we're seeing Virgin Galactic really posting a 94 million net loss. It's really sad that the company that took the first billionaire to space, the first billionaire to space went through Virgin Galactic, and we're seeing the company really posting a loss.
Or maybe here's the thing. Do you remember when Amazon wasn't necessarily a loss? It was a slight dip in the share price after Bezos went to space.
Yeah.
Should we expect the same after Elon goes?
No, Elon is going to go to Mars, so we're really hoping that becomes a whole different story. Maybe Ali, another one of the companies that And these are the sectors that I think we've mentioned in today's in today's HISA newsletter, is that we'd really be watching on the health stocks. We're seeing last week Moderna really. Moderna's Q2 results were up to 4.4 billion. Looks like those COVID shots are really, really delivering, Ali.
And you know, you remember earlier, I think it was around 2 weeks ago, we had word that companies were pushing for a second dose. Was Moderna involved in that?
Yeah. Moderna is definitely involved in that. They can't let that opportunity go to waste. Guys, can you imagine? Last year, Moderna had a net loss of 117 million. And this year, the company's net income is at $2.8 billion. So, I don't know. We've talked about COVID millionaires here in the country. So, globally, we have dollar billionaires. So, really something that's coming in hot for investors who are probably investing on the exchange. I think, Ali, maybe apart from that, one thing that I think can be able to really stand out this week would be Walt Disney, which is set to release the results as well on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Disney set to release the results on Thursday. But then also DoorDash is coming in and also the same day on Thursday. So really, nothing really that's informing. But what's really standing out would be Coinbase. And then later on in the week, we'll definitely be looking into the performance of DoorDash and Disney. Yeah, so I guess that's it for me. Ali, anything for you?
Good for me.
All right. Okay, guys, thank you all for joining in on today's session. We definitely, just as usual, we have some 3 more minutes. So if you have a question or a concern on something you'd want to share with us on Twitter or on Telegram, there's an opportunity. So there's a figure where you raise your hand. There's an option where you raise your hand. So we can give you a minute to probably ask 1 or 2 questions. Okay, on Telegram, there is nobody. Okay, on Twitter, there is someone. Yes, Theo.
Hey guys, the crypto bull cycle does not begin until at least October from previous cycles and markets, but this time round we've seen some really, really huge movements over the last 2 weeks or so. Is this a bull trap, or we should be expecting the same trend to continue?
Well, for the crypto space, I think I personally think that the crypto could really be a bull run. That's a personal opinion, considering that if you look onto the technicals, I think there are a lot of ways in which we're probably seeing this. For me personally, I think it could have picked up and probably picking up sort of a mini run. But then also for guys who are looking onto the rally, I think theoretically that makes it right that if you want to really enjoy the bull run, you might want to wait until maybe late October. Maybe Theo, if this is a discussion we can have with you guys and bring in a lot more crypto guys during the whiskey event that happens on Wednesday evening from 8:30 p.m. We can have that discussion and then probably do a large analysis of the crypto space.
Yeah, sure, I'd love that.
All right, okay. I'm just seeing on Telegram, I'm seeing Shortcap is here. You'd want to say something? Yeah. So Shore Capital, you're on a mute on Telegram, so you can proceed.
Hi guys. Morning everyone.
Yeah, morning.
My question is on gold. What have you been seeing maybe the, I don't know if you can call it a flash crash, or I don't know the best word for it, but we've been seeing a lot of inflation fears, mostly in the US, with both the CPI and the CE measures are showing the inflation is above what the Fed's target is. Gold has traditionally been termed as a hedge against inflation. So you think gold is telling us that the Fed is actually right, inflation is not here to stay, or do you think the recent price of gold is largely because of speculation and people are just trying to suppress the price?
Well, I know there's been a lot of information regarding gold, and I think it's because probably the demand for, you know, India and China are literally the largest users of gold, the largest market for gold, apart from, that is after central banks, definitely. But we're seeing there's a lot of concerns mostly onto the future valuation, which has really been the case for a very long time. Remember that for a very long time, gold has always been used as a store of value for long-term assets. And guys are trying to see onto that. And then we're also seeing a lot of decentralization in finance, which could probably be the effect. But I think one of the things that we've always seen over time is definitely guys are always trying to, in one way or another, really oppress the value of certain, I'd say, commodities and even precious metals like gold. We've seen the same happen to silver. So really, we'd hope that this could be a temporary thing. Most likely, it's something that's temporary. That's usually, I think, just a flat crash for the moment, but we're probably going to see another resurgence and a mini rally coming in, most likely in the next like 2 or 3 weeks. All right, okay. I guess there is no... we've had our time with the two questions. I'm not seeing any other person who's asking anything, both on Telegram and also on Twitter. And we'll definitely be looking into that, and we'll keep you guys posted. If you have any question or comments, feel free and get into the HISA app. We'll definitely we're going to start a few more probably forums, and then we can be able to have these discussions as well, both on commodities. And also remember, we are opening a very special discussion on HISA today for Coinbase, and we'll definitely just be talking about the fundamentals of what we can be able to expect onto it. So thank you all, guys. Thank you for joining in. See you guys on Wednesday during the Bulls Bears and Whiskey event. Have a lovely week ahead. Bye-bye.